Pastoral care in the treatment of sick children is the theme of a three-day international conference taking place here in the Vatican this week, organised by the Pontifical Council for Healthcare. The conference, which runs from Thursday to Saturday, is looking first at the origins and causes of childhood diseases, followed by a reflection on what Scripture and the other religious traditions have to say about these problems, and finally a call to action, seeing how the Church can provide more effective pastoral care to children in need.
I'm very pleased that the Pontifical Council for Health Pastoral Care has chosen this theme because I think very, very often as we look at many of the major health crises in the world, we forget the special needs of children.
Father Bob Vitillo is Special Advisor on HIV/AIDS for the Global Caritas Confederation, but he also served previously with the International Catholic Child Bureau. He's taking part in the Vatican Conference, sharing his own wide experience of working with some of the poorest and most marginalized children in countries around the world.
Certainly, children very often are more vulnerable, even for certain infections, but also the fact that they need specialized medication, formulations, and particular care. We can't just say that, we could take an adult pill and cut it in half and give it to a child. And in many cases, certainly my experience is most in the field of HIV and AIDS, but there and in other problems, we often don't have the proper dosages and formulations for administration to children.
It's completely appropriate also for the Church to be taking this angle because of the special care that the Church has always had for children and for children's needs.
Absolutely. Certainly, the Church has long experience in helping vulnerable children, especially orphans and children who don't have adequate parental care. But also then we have the excellent example here in Rome of the Ospedale Bambino Gesù, which is a very well-known pediatric hospital and often helps children from developing countries be able to get adequate surgery and care here. So I think the Church has more than demonstrated its commitment to care for children, and I think this theme at the Pontifical Council Conference this year is once again proof of the Church's commitment to children.
We're talking about children's special needs. Nearly two decades on from the Convention of the Rights of the Child, there is a growing awareness of that perhaps, whereas before we thought that children were provided for largely by families or by society, that really isn't the case. It's been an important development, hasn't it? An important process.
Well, yes, definitely to focus on the rights of the child is very important, but of course we also, especially as the Church, we feel it's very important to see that the most adequate and appropriate place for a child is within a family, so that even in the past when many governments and even sometimes church organizations thought they could do an equal job of caring for children in large institutions, we realize that that's not the best place for children. Some children need specialized care in an institution for a certain period of time. But the most important place for a child is in the family. If the child cannot be raised by his or her own biological family, then we need to find a substitute family, especially through permanent placement with adoption.
You had some very dramatic experience of that, didn't you, in Romania following the fall of the Ceausescu regime?
Yes, during the 1990s, the mid-90s into the year 2000, I was very involved in Romania, where more than 100,000 children were found after the fall of the Ceausescu regime in institutions without any plan for their permanent care and for placement back in their families of origin or with substitutes. Two families. Many people refer to those as orphanages, but in fact most of the children in those institutions did have biological families who, because of the special needs, mainly poverty, they couldn't care for their children, but the state at that point had no real commitment to help those families to be able to care for them once again, and many of the original families just lost touch with their children. So I was very involved in working at that time with our own church-based organizations, but then also with the government itself to try to reorganize its child protection system.
Do we know much about the situation there today, how these children perhaps have been able to develop and get beyond that traumatic experience?
Unfortunately, many of those children didn't have an opportunity then to go into substitute families. There were many organizations that got involved in setting up smaller group homes, but still those are institutional settings. They're not like being raised in a family. And some of those children wound up staying in the large institutions until they aged out, and at 18 years old, they were just told to go off and take care of themselves once again. Well, many of them didn't have adequate social skills, educational skills, or even job training skills to be able to manage well. And so it was kind of like a vicious circle, so that many of the aged out children then never really integrated into society very well, and then sometimes wound up in problems with the law and in prison. I think it's really important that that in countries where they've had a tradition of large institutional care, that they really make efforts to make sure that children are raised within families.
A lot of the problem is also over stigma, isn't it? Stigma for disability or sickness of one kind or another, and that is still very much the case in so many countries today.
Absolutely. In many cases, I found that, especially under the Marxist communist system, that handicapped children were really not even considered to be human because they were not functional, they were not people who could contribute to the state. And so a very, very important perspective that we brought as church-based organizations after the fall of communism in those countries was to try to focus on the dignity of the individual and see that every child, every adult is a child of God and therefore has a value, whether or not he or she can be working and contributing to the functioning of the state. So that's an important thing, to try to overcome the stigma and the discrimination. And then also find the gifts that people with disabilities bring to society and help them develop the skills and help them to learn how to contribute in their own particular way to the good of society.
Can you give us some examples? You travel so widely of countries where perhaps this mentality is permeating the stigma and the prejudices against children with disabilities or sickness of this kind.
Well, a good example that I am more familiar with recently is in Vietnam, where the church has gotten very involved in reaching out to people living with HIV and AIDS. And first of all, it started with some of the adults who found themselves in so-called drug rehabilitation centers that were being run by the government of Vietnam. Many of them were infected with HIV. Some were dying of AIDS. And the government asked the Archdiocese of Ho Chi Minh City to set up medical programs, kind of hospice programs, for these very sick people in the drug rehabilitation centers, which really were like prisons. Well, even before the church had access to antiretroviral medications, just because of the love, the better nutrition, the care that these people were given, many of them overcame their opportunistic infections and got better. And now many of them are being reintegrated into society after they get released from these institutions. And our church programs also taught them skills. So some of those same people are now working in outpatient clinics that are being run by the church in Ho Chi Minh City and in some of the other dioceses now as well. In a similar way, some of those people who had children, the children also are infected, and there's an excellent program run by the Archdiocese of Ho Chi Minh City for mothers and children with AIDS. Many of these mothers and children were abandoned even by their own families of origin, had no place to go, were living on the streets, and the Cardinal of Ho Chi Minh City, as well as a very young chameleon father, Father John Thuy, have committed themselves to take care of these mothers and children, and they're getting job training skills for the mothers. They're helping the mothers to start their own businesses. They've started a flower shop, for example, or sewing programs so that they can earn their keep. But also then the children are being integrated into schools. And there's been a lot of advocacy that's done, even with our own Catholic nursery schools, so that they can be accepted and they can go to a regular school.
So a real success story, in other words. How much has this work been recognised perhaps by the government, despite the persistent difficulties between the church and state there?
Well, even though there's still no official recognition of many of these church programmes, the government officials at the local level often refer the mothers and children to our church programmes, especially the one in Ho Chi Minh City. But now that's being replicated in a number of other dioceses as well. And I personally feel that because of those positive experiences and because the government in Vietnam has noticed those experiences, that could have been a contributing factor to the fact that now Caritas Vietnam has been allowed to operate for the first time in 32 years since it was closed by the government in 1976.
This is a very significant development, isn't it, for all kinds of other programs beyond just this work with HIV and AIDS?
Absolutely. In fact, very recently I was privileged to attend the inauguration of Caritas Vietnam, representing Caritas Internationalis as well as the Catholic HIV and AIDS Network. And there was great hope, there was great joy among the bishops and the various diocesan representatives from Vietnam. And they've already planned a very wide program of support through Caritas Vietnam. First of all, to work with vulnerable children, both those with disabilities as well as those living with HIV and those who are not in their families of origin. But then also to prepare to respond to the many natural disasters that occur very frequently in Vietnam because of the weather problems and also some of the climate change effects that we're already seeing in that country. And then also to work on more long-range development programs so that we not only respond to the emergencies, but we try to help people prevent those emergencies and also get involved in productive development programs.
Thanks there to Father Bob Vitillo, Special Advisor on HIV/AIDS for the Global Caritas Confederation.